you working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, America. Happy Friday, everybody. It's already warm. Let's check out some temperatures around the western part of Oklahoma. 101. Where's that at? Oh, Hooker. 101 at Hooker. They're the hot spot in the state of Oklahoma right now. 97 at Buffalo, 100 at Cherokee, 93 at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon, 95 at Hollis, capital of Harmon County, and 96 at Hobart, out here in the panhandle of Texas, 96 at Lipscomb, 94 at Miami, 92 at McLean, 98 at Dozer, and Wellington, you're a whopping 96 degrees, so it's going to be warm. I did, unless I was imagining something. Let me check out something on my phone real quick. Sorry, hang on here. Yeah, when did they move a chance of rain into the forecast? I see we got a 30% chance of rain Sunday. I guess there's a cold front coming through because 89 is going to be the high Monday, and then it's going to warm right back up. Yeah, we got a slight chance of rain coming Sunday. All right, let's see what else going on. Oh, did Pred check this morning with some cows out west of town and started weaning some calves. 100% pregnancy check, according to Dr. Taylor and Dr. Madison from Stockman's Vet. We got 100%, even the ones that Dr. Taylor AI'd, 100%. Incredible. Well, let me back up. I took her 7 heifers. 6 of them bred. The 7th one did not, would not take, didn't act like it even cycled. So I guess it wasn't 100%, but we knew the one she did breed was 100%. Does that make sense? She was 6 out of 6 on those. So good enough. It was fun. We got it all done. It was before it got hot. Now let's start the weaning process. I do fence line weaning, and I got something about fence line weaning coming up later in the show. Other than that, just let the wind blow. That's what it's going to do. Let's see what happened overnight in our big world of agriculture. Corn and soybean futures were modestly lower in overnight trading as favorable weather conditions continues in much of the U.S. Midwest. Only 1.8% of a 11-state region that includes Iowa and Illinois, the biggest producers of both crops in the U.S., was suffering from drought conditions as of August the 5th, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. And we talked about it yesterday, man. It's a good thing. Not a lot of drought east of here, from here east. That's down from 2.4% a week earlier and 32% of at the beginning of the calendar year. About 27% of a six-state region, including North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Colorado, and Wyoming, were seeing drought, down from 29% a week earlier and 60% at the first of the year. According to the monitor, 73% of the U.S. corn was in good or excellent condition as of August 3rd, unchanged from the previous week. Some 69% of the soybean crop earned top ratings, down 1 percentage point from the week before last. Hot weather is expected in most of the U.S. corn belt today, though temperatures are expected to decline into the weekend, and precipitation is forecast for parts of Iowa in northern Illinois tomorrow and Sunday. Corn futures for December delivery fell a penny and a half to 405.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soybean futures for November delivery lost 2.5 cents to $9.91 a bushel. Soy meal was down 70 cents to $284.50 a short ton, and soybean oil dropped to dropped 0.29 cents to 53.13 cents a pound. Wheat futures for September delivery fell a half a penny to 517 and three quarter a bushel, while Kansas City futures were down a penny and three quarter to 519 and three quarter cents a bushel. Sales of soybeans and wheat to overseas buyer was up week to week, while corn sales plunged, according to the USDA, it said in its weekly report. Exporters sold 467,800 metric tons of soybeans in the 7 days that ended on July 31st. The agency said that's up 71% from the previous week and 63% from the four-week average. Taiwan was the big buyer at 150,000 tons, followed by the Netherlands at 119,000. Germany came in there at 75,000 tons, Indonesia 68,000 tons, and Egypt was in there for 59,000 tons. The total would have been higher, but a John Doe country canceled orders of 179,000 tons and Algeria nixed shipments of 40,000 tons. Soybean exports for the week totaled 689,500 metric tons. That's up 63% week over week. Wheat sales totaled 737,800 metric tons. That's up 25% from both the previous week and for the average for this time of the year. Nigeria purchased 185,900 metric tons. Bangladesh was in there at 165,000. Mexico, 105,000. South Korea took 89,000. Philippines bought 68,400 tons of U.S. wheat. A John Doe buyer, however, canceled shipments of 146,800 tons. Exports last week jumped to 667,000 tons from 296,700 tons a week earlier. Corn sales for export, meanwhile, dropped 50% week to week and 71% from the four-week average to 170,400 metric tons. That's not a lot of corn. Mexico was in there at 208,400 tons. Colombia purchased 148,000 tons. Japan, 75,000. South Korea, 70,000 tons. And Ireland took 52,000 tons. A John Doe destination canceled orders for 491,700 tons. That's a lot of tons of corn to cancel. So exports for the week totaled 1.23 million metric tons. That's down from 17% from the previous week. Well, pretty sure according to the National Weather Service, what they're saying here, it's just going to be hot. From Texas border all the way up to the Canadian border, Mexican border all the way up to the Canadian border. Extreme heat warning has been issued for northwestern Oklahoma, where they say heat values will top out at 111 to 112 degrees today, so they can have all that. Interesting. Well, today is the Wheeler General Store happy hour. Let's take a Wheeler General Store break, and we'll be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma, or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I was impressed that he came to my barn. That is what I like is service. Service says a lot. I have not even been to his office. My time is very valuable to me. I'm very busy. It's a 35-minute drive from my house to Mangum. I don't want to drive down there every time I need something. That's going to kill at least 2 hours of my day, and I don't have that kind of time to spare. So when I get in business with somebody like this that gives me that kind of service, I respect the job that they're doing, and I appreciate the service that they're providing to me. I'm ecstatic. I'm very glad. It worked out like it was supposed to. You know, I don't think I could have picked a better insurance agent. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Hay wrap is what people use in their balers, the farmers, when they want to, you know, baling up hay. It wraps it up. It's better than twine. So it's like one consistency, holds everything together, lasts longer, easier to cut off. Well, we started selling it because we got asked for it, because there's nowhere around here to really buy it, the good kind of net wrap that we have. So we found a vendor that's good price, and now we carry it. We've got it. Camrock is right south of Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City, Oklahoma.
Need precision parts done right and fast? At K4T in Elk City, we specialize in CNC machining, welding, and fabrication for the oil field as well as ag industries. We're a full-service job shop built on grit, speed, and craftsmanship. Whether it's a one-off prototype or full production, we get it done right every time. Family-owned and third-generation strong, Jason and Jamie Koss treat your job like it's their own. Stop by K4T on Merritt Road in Elk City or find us on Facebook. K4T, built on family, driven by craftsmanship.
My papa started Hutton Inc. in 1983.
And now our uncle runs it just like papa did.
We're learning the ropes too, because this isn't just dirt work, it's family legacy.
From GPS guided earthwork to excavation, house and building pads, topsoil and aggregate sales, drainage repair, forklift and man lift rentals, Hutton Inc. does it all.
3 generations strong, we move the earth and your future.
Call Hutton Inc. at 580-225-0225.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's check out some weather in Miami, Texas. 95 degrees, heat index at 95. Humidity's 34, dew point 62. Winds out of south at 21 miles an hour, with gusts up to 21 or 28 currently. 31 is the peak wind gust today. 1.81 inches of rain so far in the month of August. So far. And what do we got? 8-inch soil temperature, 78 degrees. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right. Let's update the board real quick and see what's happening. It looked like a disaster on the cattle a while ago. I mean, yes, it was a disaster from what was seen. Yeah, it's got worse, but it's still a good price. All right, here we go. Corn for September, 384, down a quarter. December's unchanged at 407. Soybeans for September, 969, down 5. So is November at 988. Soybean meal, September, 276.10, unchanged. October's 278.40, down 40. Soybean oil, September, 52.98. down 52, and hard red winter wheat, September 519, down 2.25, December's down 3.5 at 538. Oil. I don't know why something's going on with my deal here. So I don't have any energy information for you. Sorry. Yeah, I do. Let me go to my phone. I got it on here. Something going on the computer here. So I don't, it was doing that yesterday. Bear with me here a second. I got it right here. Bam. Soft energies. Here we go. No, it's not. It's doing it on the phone too. I'm sorry. Apologize. I don't know what's happening to our energy. Usually I have oil out of West Texas price for you. Natural gas is not showing up. They got something going on there. All right, let's go to live cattle. August Well, let's just go to October. 227.15 down 507. December's 228.92 down 470. Feeder cattle, August 340.50 down 815. September's 341.27 down 835. October's 340.35 down 812. Lean hogs, October 90.97 up a nickel. Looks like the Dow is, that's the only one I've got. Dow's trading in the very, very positive. So, all right, let's see here. There was a story, I guess I missed this somewhere in all my stuff that I get, and I didn't even know this was going on. But I guess you probably seen it in some of your email updates you get every morning, but not everybody gets that. Saving the mule shoe. I didn't even know this was going on. Ranchers chalk up a win for private property rights in the mule shoe region of West Texas. And I think now that I think about it, I did read about this when President Biden was the president, and they were talking about taking this private land. So I do remember this. I had to read into this a little bit. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on July 31st of this year officially withdrew its land protection plan for the Muleshoe National Wildlife Refuge. The federal agency immediately halted all plans to purchase private property and conservation easements needed to expand the refuge in West Texas and stretch well into eastern New Mexico. The Fish and Wildlife Service plan for the refuge, centered around 70 miles northwest of Lubbock, Texas, was to grow the Muleshoe to 700,000 acres from its current 6,440 acres. That's growing at pretty good size. The Muleshoe plan, finalized June 12th of 23, was part of the Biden administration's $1 billion Tackling the Climate Crisis at Home and Abroad initiative, which aimed to conserve and restore at least 30% of U.S. lands and waters by the year 2030. Yeah, now it's all coming back to me. The Texas and Southwestern Cattle Growers Association and the New Mexico Cattle Growers Association led the charge against expanding the wildlife refuge. Their joint goal was to protect private property rights and prevent loss of working ag lands. We remain concerned about the necessity of and scope of the Muleshoe Refuge Plan, particularly the acreage proposed for acquisition, said TSCR President, RA President Carl Polk, Jr. of Lufkin, Texas. Despite the Fish and Wildlife's assurances that stakeholders had sufficient opportunity to weigh in during the process, the Texas and Southwestern Association communities impacted by the proposed expansion was inadequately informed. The lack of engagements between entities has caused frustration from our members in West Texas and undermined the potential for constructive dialogue, Polk wrote in November 13th of 24, letter to the Fish and Wildlife. We are seeking comprehensive explanation of the plan's objectives and transparent evaluation of its impact on current landowners, permittees, and local economies. The Texas Farm Bureau Federation also moved quickly in voicing concern about the Muleshoe Refuge Expansion Plan, opposing all federal acquisitions acquiring it. How's that? Of private property and supporting its position of no net loss to private lands. The federal government should not be competing with farmers and ranchers to acquire land, and said Jay Bragg, Texas Farm Bureau Associate Director of Commodity and Regulatory Activities. This competition artificially inflates land values, increasing cost of preventing farmers and ranchers from acquiring land. Wildlife preservation organization shot back by claiming Arrington's amendment would set a dangerous precedent for expansion of wildlife refuges throughout the country. So, but while the Fish and Wildlife Muleshoe Refuge expansion effort met stiff local headwinds. It took swift action by the new federal administration in Washington, D.C. to nail the lid on the plan's coffin. And let's see here, executive order on January 20th. Wasn't that that day he took office? President Trump said, unleashing American energy. This order was implemented by the Secretary of Interior, who directed the Fish and Wildlife Service to cease land acquisitions within the boundaries created by the proposed land protection plan. So there you have it. Boom, they axed that deal. Yeah. Let's see here. What else we got going on here? One more thing before we go to break. I noticed in Successful Farming this morning, Iowa grown corn is featured in beer on tap at the Iowa State Fair. I thought that was kind of interesting. It's called a beer called Yield of Dreams. Is on tap at the Iowa State Fair and features corn grown across the state and donated by 18 Iowa farmers. The lager brewed at Confluence Brewing Company in Des Moines is a partnership between the Iowa Brewers Guide, the Iowa Corn Growers, and Choose Iowa, which is promoting a slew of locally produced goods at this year's state fair. I think we need to be doing that at the Oklahoma State Fair, too. This is the second year of the groups have been partnered to create the Yield of Dreams beer and offer it to fairgoers at the Iowa Craft Beer Tent. According to the press release, the beer is meant to represent the relationship between the craft beer and agriculture industries. Iowa's Brewers Guide, a trade association for beer and cider brewers in Iowa, celebrates locally brewed beers through it Brewed in Iowa campaign. So they had a very successful start with it last year. Two farmers from each of the crop reporting districts donated a little over a bushel of corn, which was added to the brew at the Confluence Brewing Company in June. So pretty cool stuff. Need to do that. There's a lot of other stuff. Homebrew beers in Oklahoma. Where did I try it at? I'm going to get them on the show. At the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, I just remembered that beer was so good that they had there. You tried a little bit of it. And matter of fact, it was so good that one of the managers there at the hotel had took a sample, and I think they were going to get that beer into the hotel there. So it was pretty good. Interesting deal going on with all these brewed beers. Let's see here. We got one more thing. She called me last night and asked me to do it. So the Elk City Farmers Market that was here at on 3rd Street, there where the old Bob Main Ford was, across from the Red Rock Baseball Park, they're moving. Next Wednesday, they're going to be in a different place. The reason being, they outgrew the first place, and this is so awesome. So where they're going to be at next Wednesday, same time, 6 to 7:30, they're going to be at Ackley Park, across the road though, but they're going to be on the west side of the football field over there in those trees and where the pavilions are. So this is awesome. I mean, that's how that thing, those people running the Elk City Farmers Market did a jam up job of blowing that market up. I think that was week 5 or 6. Night before last was week 5, I think. Maybe 6. Might be wrong, but not very old at all. And it just blowed up into a major deal. So congratulations. Again, they are moving from where they were on 3rd Street to across the road over west of the football field in the pavilion area there at Ackley Park. So I'm just passing that information on. I'll remind everybody again probably next Monday or Tuesday on that. All right, let's take a Wheeler General store break. We'll be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey farmers, it's Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's time to plant summer cover crops. We carry the best quality cover crop seeds available. If you need ag chemicals, we can ship bigger orders straight from the warehouse to your farm with unbeatable prices. And as always, we're an authorized livestock nutrition center dealer. Call us, visit us on South Randall in Elk City, and follow us on Facebook. SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity.
Reap the rewards of buying a new zero-turn mower from DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City. You'll enjoy discounted cash prices or financing with approved credit. A free t-shirt and cap, DJ's discounts, and a large selection of in-stock blades, belts, and OEM parts. They'll take care of any warranty work that needs to be done, and you'll have the peace of mind that comes with making a purchase from a business you know and trust. DJ's is your authorized Spartan, Cub Cadet, and Hustler mower dealer located on South Main in Elk City.
You farmers like saving money on stuff you gotta have? You can save instantly when you buy two or more eligible Bridgestone or Firestone ag tires at Blair Tire and Feed. Get $300 off all eligible AD2IF and VF radial tires and Bridgestone radials. Get $200 off all eligible non-AD2 radial tires. And get $25 off Destination Farm and Destination Turf. Blair Tire and Feed at the crossroads in Blair, Oklahoma. Save instantly on the tires you gotta have.
Meet AgSense 365 from Valley. They've combined their best in-class remote irrigation management applications into one powerful platform. Easily manage everything from pivots to pumps and more anytime, anywhere, all with AgSense 365. Contact Knutson Irrigation at 1-800-373-9325 today to learn more about AgSense 365, the most intuitive app for remote irrigation management. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind.
I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, July 25th. 1,535 head were sold. 12 head of steers at 470 brought 415. 5 at 544 brought 397.50. 19 at 556 brought 382. 10 at 636 brought 345. 6 at 694 brought 343. 2 at 907 brought 310. 4 head of heifers at 320 brought 470, 9 at 389 brought 405, 30 at 421 brought 398, 13 at 438 brought 410, 12 at 445 brought 415, butcher cows were 135 to 181, butcher bulls brought 168 to 210, bred cows 2100 to 3400, pairs 3200 to 4050, Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6090.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Hey, why I remembering, as I would wildly say, I was noticing the penny news on page 8. Yeah, Cunningham Peaches will be in Woodward tomorrow. Saturday, August 9th, and you have to go to, their Facebook page or their website to see where they're going to be stationed at, because it doesn't give this in here. There's a big ad in the Penny News, you can figure it out, and then Fairview, August the 12th, El Reno the 13th, and then Alva a week from tomorrow, Saturday, August 16th. There you have it. Because you know you like some Cunningham peaches, because I've had, three or four here in the last couple of days. Let's check out some weather in Buffalo. 98 degrees, feels like 99. Heat risk is low. Dew point 61. Humidity is 29. The winds are out of the south, southwest at 15. Wind gust up to 23. 5,100 of an inch of rain so far in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 88. Sun's head at 839. Hot 109 today. It's going to get hot. 77 for a low tonight and 102 tomorrow. Yikes, 109. That don't even look fun. What else is going on? This morning, I went out early to get the cows in the lot before everybody else showed up. And I heard Bob White's every direction. And I'm very hard hearing, but a Bob White, I can just sound that I can hear very well. And it's just so cool. There's a lot of quail around. I haven't seen any babies here in the last 3 or 4 weeks, but I know they're there. I seen a lookout on Bob White the other morning between Sayre and the house there along the river. So I don't know. It's just kind of fun to watch all the game, except for the deer. They're eating all my peanuts, and I'm not really happy with them right now. I can tell you, after rehoming all those raccoons last year, they've been a rare sight in the peanut field here lately. So that's good with me. A guy sitting there talking about fence line weaning a while ago. This article is from a field editor for the Angus, the business breed, a beef bulletin from that website. And I agree with a little bit of it, and I don't agree with a little bit of it. Does that make sense? So I'll let you guys decide. And if you want to and you're bored, 580-225-9697, if you want to shoot me a text of what you do with your fence line weaning, whether it's hot wire, regular fence, or fence line wean, or however you wean. So we'll see how it's going on. But Rob Davidson, a rancher in northeastern Alberta, Canada, 85 miles north of Edmonton, has raised and pastured cattle for many years, utilizing rotational grazing with electric fence. He says the definition of a good fence is something that will hold cattle, and an electric fence will do the job very well, as long as you keep it hot. That's all I can tell you. Davidson describes trying to rope a heifer needing treatment. After chasing her the length of the paddock, she came to a screeching halt at the poly wire across one end. We tried to rope her and missed, so she took off again towards the far end, and we turned around and headed back. He says the 4-strand barbed wire fence at the other end didn't even break her stride. She crashed right through that fence. Davidson recounts, lamenting most barbed wire fences won't stop a determined animal. Probably not. She crashed right through that fence. Anyway, there's a difference between the power of an electric wire and a physical barrier barbed wire, Davidson says. So I was looking at his picture up in Canada. When we say barbed wire fence around here, we mean 5 or 6 strands. Well, theirs up there are 3 and 4 wire strands. So, yeah, I can see something crashing right through it. Anyway, he said after being shocked, they don't want to subject themselves to the experience again. They respect the fence and want to stay away from it. A shock is a greater surprise and physical deterrent, whereas cattle are quite at ease and comfortable with a barbed wire fence or other physical barrier. They rub on it and try to reach through to eat grass on the other side, Davidson says. They don't consider barbed wire, netting, or pole fences a threat. Portable electric fence can be used for sorting or loading cattle. Once cattle are trained to an electric wire, they don't question it. When moving cattle along a road or through a barnyard, you can even use baling twine, fake fence, to block a driveway or some other area you don't want the cattle to enter, and they won't try to go through it. So on fence line weaning, electric fence works better than traditional fence with fence line weaning. I don't agree with that. But Davidson says calves that grow up around electric fences have great respect for them or avoid touching them. I don't agree with that either. Well, I do agree with that. They do have respect for it, but I've seen lots of cattle out in my area with hot wires. The main reason is they don't keep it hot. So that's when they lose their respect for it. We have hot wire down there along the river there by the house, and those cows there have a major respect for that barbed wire. 6-7 years, I've got them off the river twice now, and that's because there wasn't no fence. They didn't respect the fence. It just wasn't there. Deer tore it down completely away. So when doing fence line weaning, however, I've never heard anyone explain why it works so well to use electric fence, Davidson said. People never say that it's been about the nursing and not the nursing. They talk about the calf comfort and that the cattle are more comfortable if they can lie next to each to one another. The cow and her calf, just through the fence. But the cattle we wean with electric fence do not lie right next to the fence. They sleep a little bit away from it, he says, because they are afraid of it biting them. It's the nursing that they're thinking about when they approach the fence to get to the cow, and if they get shocked while wanting to nurse, they associate that nasty experience with nursing and don't want to try to approach mom that closely again. He says it's a mental association that doesn't want them to, keeps them from nursing, the want to. And it's similar to what happened if you went to your favorite coffee shop and they put something in your coffee, they taste it terrible. He says you wouldn't want to try that again. Yet no one has ever really discussed that it's not about the comfort of being with mama at that point in the calf's life. Mama is the source of food. Mama teaches the calf to graze and what to eat and where to go for water. They travel together and the calf mimics mom, but the desire to nurse can be altered with electrical shock. The deterrent, however, must be applied when the calf is thinking about nursing, coming to the fence to get to mom to nurse. So the two things are associated and connected in the calf's mind and memory. This is how animals learn to avoid something that gives them a bad experience. There you have it. What do you guys think about that? I mean, we've been one place here, we fence line wing. This is year number 3. Not one issue. Knock on wood. Not one issue. And which we have a fairly good sized pen that's got continuous fence around it that we leave them in there for 4, 5, 6, 7 days. And the mamas are right outside that panel lot there, big lot. Got grass in it this year. Shouldn't be no dust. But we've had 100% good luck, knock on wood, with weaning them right there. And then after a week and they're eating feed and the whole nine yards, forgetting about mama and quit bawling and all that good stuff, I'll turn them out into a 25-acre lot, and they got boot top to over boot top high Bermuda grass to go chomp on it. Can you guys believe what the grass looks like right now? Oof, it looks good. If you don't have any grass right now, you're overgrazing. You need to get rid of some of your cows or something. So there's a lot of good grass out there. Okay, let's go ahead and take our last Wheeler General Store break, and we'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
One of the computers here at the station was crashing, about to lose everything on it, and we didn't even know it. But Dennis knew, because he was watching, and he warned us in time.
Hey Gabe, it's Dennis. Our system detected that one of your computers has a hard drive that's about to fail.
Which one?
It's Nathan's.
So what do I need to do?
Well, we probably need to get it in the shop and get the drive cloned to a new machine before he loses any data off of it.
Do you have another computer in stock that we can just get it fixed real quick?
Sure, we've got some in stock. Just need to get it in, get it cloned over, and be good to go.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dennis.
You bet, sounds good. See you.
ITL monitors our computers at Paragon Communications remotely, So Dennis Teal knows there's a problem before we even know it. He helped us save years worth of valuable files. ITO's remote monitoring comes in very handy here at work. That kind of security system for your computers can keep your business running so you can keep making a living.
When you're out working in the shop and the garage this summer, stay comfortable with a Portacool Apex cooler. Napa Auto and Truck Parts in Elk City, Weatherford, and Hinton has compact spot coolers for the garage. They've also got high-powered units that cool up to 6,500 square feet. Each unit blasts cool air up to 60 feet and connects to your phone with the CoolSync app for remote control. They're quiet, efficient, and tough with a lifetime warranty on molded housings. Swing by your local Napa and get your Portacool Apex cooler and stay comfortable while you work this summer.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
You're so busy out on the farm, you don't run into town unless you absolutely have to. The folks on the east side of Wheeler make it easier for you to stay on the farm. They'll deliver high pro feed in bulk to your place. They deliver bulk feed in five states. They're used to it. But if you're in town, stop in and ask about lick tubs and talk to them about fertilizer. They've got plenty of that too. Your cattle and crops don't have better friends than the folks at the Wheeler General Store. Sure, they're on Facebook, but mostly they're on Highway 152 on the east side of Wheeler. That's Wheeler General Store.
This season, Army Worm, better watch out. Because your wheat is protected by Lumavia CPL insecticide seed treatment with a unique mode of action that starts at the seed, then moves through the plant to protect it from roots to shoots for strong stand establishment and better yield potential. Army Worms, you're out of here. Learn more at Corteva.us/LumaviaCPL.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, southwestern Oklahoma, here's your ag weather update brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, America. I'm going with the big city of Tipton. 97, feels like 99. Heat risk is low. Dew point 64, humidity's 35%. Winds are out of the south-southwest at 18 miles an hour. Wind gust 24 currently. 3-day average 4-inch spare soil temperature, 88 degrees. 77 one-hundredths of an inch of rain in the last 10 days. 833 sunset, 105 today, 78 tonight, 104 tomorrow. And the wind continuously moves on. Like I said, it looks like tomorrow evening we got a cold front, whatever you want to call it. Cold front's what it's going to feel like coming in. So we got that coming in. All right, let's see here. I had something I wanted to share with you. Coming up, make plans December 3rd and 4th at the Embassy Suites in Norman, Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Governor's Water Conference and Research Symposium is going to be going on. And you can register. Registration is open now. You can go to the Oklahoma Water Resources Board and find a link, or the Oklahoma Water Resources Center and find a link. This premier annual event brings together hundreds of water professionals, researchers, policymakers, and others who are passionate about the management, development, and protection of Oklahoma water resources. What to expect, insightful sessions led by state feds and local experts on today's most pressing water issues and policies, the latest in water research and innovation, a student poster exhibit, Over 30 exhibitors will be there sharing tools, technology, and resources, networking opportunities. And that, again, is coming up December 3rd and 4th at the Embassy Suites in Norman. And I got this in here. Yeah, I got a message from one of the ranchers out here. I won't say exactly what he says, but he said he agrees with me. The thing's going to run through a hot wire. That's all. I mean, if they grew up around a hot wire and they've had bad experience, probably, maybe not, you know. But if they've been used to being getting in and out because the hot wire's not being hot all the time, nah, they won't do. I guess some stuff coming up here, according to one of my buddies, for some CEUs if you're needing them. Seed treatment meeting at Canton on August 19th. RSVP to Britton Parsons, a.k.a. the Cotton Killer, at 580-660-1564. Wheeler Brothers is doing this. Keynote speakers included Rhonda Franklin and Jared Yost with Nutrag, and she's with Cordova AgriScience. Lunch is provided. And let's see, 11 a.m. is what it's saying. Two CEUs. Private applicator, and also seed treatment in a wheat meeting at Weatherford at the Tom Stafford Air and Space Museum. Three CEUs for private applicators there. We got Rhonda Franklin, Jarrett Yost, and Greg Justice. Lunch is provided. And call Hank Schofield at 806-678-7491 to get that. And we got some more coming up, I'll mention next week, for some CEUs on the private applicators, if you're needing any. Roger, Dodger. All right, let's see here. What else we got going on we're going to talk about here? Who wins and who loses from Trump's new Brazil tariff? President Donald Trump's steep new tariffs on Brazil's took effect Wednesday, August the 6th, subjecting about a third of the Brazilian exports to the U.S. at a 50% duty, tariff duty. And then we got, while some U.S. ag industries stand to benefit from higher prices and reduced competition, other countries also stand to gain. In some cases, U.S. consumers and downstream industries will likely bear significant new costs. Here's the biggest winners and losers under these new tariffs from Brazil on Brazil for a variety of ag products. Beef. Who's the winners? U.S. producers, Australia, Canada, and Mexico. Who's the loser? Brazilian producers, U.S. consumers. Brazilian beef producers had unexpectedly benefited from Trump's early tariff rollout. In April, the country only received a baseline tariff of 10%, leading Brazilian exporters to believe they might escape the most crushing duty rates and emerge as a more favored supplier. Initially, they were right. Canada and Mexico are two of the U.S. top four sources of beef imports, with Brazil and Australia rounding up out the list. When Trump moved to impose new tariffs on Mexico and Canada over cross-border fentanyl trade and injected uncertainty into the North American markets, some buyers turned to Brazilian sources. With purchases of Brazilian beef from January to June jumping 33% from last year. But Alvarez said the 40% point tariff hike on the Brazilian beef would reverse those gains and then some. Brazilian beef already faces a 26.4% tariff when imported outside of a 65-ton annual quota. The new duties will send the tariff rate up above 75%. In Brazil, we're already seeing signs of the market adjustments. Alvarez says beef prices have dropped as the market waits to see how much of the beef usually sold to the U.S. ends up on the domestic market. The move could benefit U.S. producers if lower imports from Brazil lead to high beef prices. More other countries also stand to benefit from Brazil's new hurdles in assessing the U.S. market. Australia, which only faces a 10% tariff, could expand its U.S. footprint. Alvarez said beef from the Canada and Mexico that meets the criteria under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement is also exempt from tariffs, and the two other countries would boost their U.S. exports. Other small beef exporters are subject to lower tariff rates, and Brazil may also capitalize on these new trade opportunities, Alvarez said, including Paraguay, Argentina, Uruguay, you see how I spelled that, or said that, and some Central American nations. That is all bad news for the Brazilian industry, Alvarez added. Brazilian meat packers are expecting losses up to $1 billion as a result of the new duties. U.S. consumers and downstream industries are also set to pay more for their beef. Well, I don't agree with that. Maybe I'm reading that wrong. Maybe I ain't as smart as I think I am. If these other countries like Australia, Mexico, or probably not Mexico, not right now with the borders closed, Canada, or any of those other ones send beef to replace Brazil, then the consumers are shouldn't pay more for their beef. Now, consumers might pay more for prime beef that the American ranchers grow, cattle producers grow. That's one thing. For U.S. consumers, if they had to buy more Australian or Canada beef or from another country, it's more expensive meat. We'll see. This will mean paying more at a time when these prices are already at historic highs. All I can tell you is the up and downs on the market right now with beef. It's still high, even with an $8 drop on the board today or whatever it is. I'll check it before the show's over. I'm telling you, if you got room in your freezer, right now is a good time to buy some beef from a local processor, a producer, and have it processed local. I don't care if you live in Slap Out, Billings, Oklahoma, Tipton, Oklahoma, Hobart, Cheyenne. There's somebody in your area that raises some good beef. Be a golden opportunity, because I think a lot of these producers have been holding their prices down selling beef to locally. So be a good time to do it. I'm not trying to scare you into do anything, but I just think it'd be a good time opportunity to do, because we don't know. Sugar winners, U.S. producers, Central America, and maybe Mexico. Losers, Brazilian producers, U.S. food producers. Brazilian receives the largest allocation of U.S. sugar import quotas annually, but the new tariffs, which apply on top of the end quota, raise serious questions about whether Brazil will still be able to meet its 156,000 metric ton quota on sugar. What would it cost to get that sugar? It's not feasible, said Jeff Dopertry, or something like that, head of the futures and options at Jenkins Sugar Group Commodities, said during a panel discussion of the International Sweetener Symposia this week. I bet if my wife's listening, she'd probably say it. They just need to quit eating sugar, not worry about it. If Brazil, the largest quota holder, can no longer meet the quota, other countries can step in, and which cattle Central America producers also are amongst those that could benefit. Another one, coffee. Winners, Colombia, Central American countries, Vietnam, and Indonesia. Loser, U.S. consumers. Among the most surprising details of Trump's executive order imposing an additional 40% tariffs on Brazil was omitting coffee amongst the list of exempt products. The U.S. has almost no commercial scale industry, producing less than 1% of its total stocks domestically in places such as Hawaii and Puerto Rico. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick even specifically cited cattle or coffee in the interview on CNBC last week. But when the executive order landed, there was no mention of coffee amongst the hundreds of products that secured a carve-out. So coffee's going to go up. Tobacco. Winners, U.S. farmers, Canada, Dominican Republic. Losers, U.S. cigarette manufacturers and U.S. smokers. And I think that's about it. Let's check it out real quick, see if I can get an update before I lose my airtime here. See what cattle are doing real quick on the board. What's changed in the last hour? Come on. There we go. Ooh, it ain't got any better. October lives, 225.72, down 650. Feeders for September, 340.37, down 925. October, 339.22, down $9.25 also. See you Monday. It's Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust, Elk City, and Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.